Well, guys, want to take a moment to set us up for today. We just wrapped up a series called Reset, and just getting back into back to school mode and back to a different the routine of life for a lot of us. Not all of us are in that category, but a lot of us are. And so we've been going through just allowing ourselves to be in a position for God just to do some resetting in us, in our vision, our focus, our will to be shaped by His will. And to close the month out, I've asked our assistant pastor, Pastor Lindsay, she's also our student pastor, to come today and bring God's word. So let's welcome her this morning.
Good morning. I have to say hey to Jesslyn, because she's watching up from the soccer field today. She's in Murfreesboro, and she told me to say hi. I love technology because it does mean that even when something happens that you can join in and still be a part of your church family and know what's going on and stay connected. My dad is also watching online today. My dad had a detached retina this week. I'm going to tell on him in a little bit. I'm sitting at lunch. I knew he had gone to the eye doctor. I'm sitting at lunch, and I get a text message from my dad, and it reads like this. Detached retina. On my way to the specialist to have surgery today. I'll keep you posted. Let my sisters know. End of message. And I thought, well, that's clearly not enough information for me. And so I call, and he does not answer. And so then I text, surgery today, right now? Are you on your way? Someone will have to drive you. This is for your eye. You can't see. They're not going to let you drive. He's like, I'm good. I'm okay. I'll let you know. Nope, that's not how it's going to go. I'm on my way. Don't let them tell you anything or do anything until I get there. Because, you know, at some point, even the adults need a responsible or adult, right, to be with them. But boy, I thought about that for a minute this week, and I thought, that's kind of how I talk to God sometimes in my coming and my going. I'm like, Lord, this, this, and this. Thanks so much. Bye. And sometimes I feel like the Lord's like, hey, let's just slow it down a bit. Let's talk a little bit more about this. Maybe you could keep me a little bit more informed than just giving me the bullet post of what you need, right? And this verse came to me this week. How many of us have heard and used that phrase, what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord turned around for my good, right? But let's look at what that verse, and this is not in there, Todd, so don't worry. It's Genesis 50:20, and it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Now, so many times we stop right there. But there's not a period there. Intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. The saving of many lives. You know, anything that you face and you go through, and the hard things that you go through, the Lord will turn it around for good. But that good is not just for you. It is the power of your testimony, and it can change other people's lives, and it can change the tone for your entire future. And as I was this week just thinking about the things like that with my dad and other situations, I've seen the Lord answer some prayers this week in some very small ways, but big ways. The Lord is turning things around for good, but not just for your own personal good. Your testimony, the goodness and faithfulness of God in your life is a testimony to the people around you, to your family, to future generations, what God has done. So I want you today, first of all, make sure you keep people informed on your life. Give them the full information, and God too. But don't get discouraged. There are answers to prayers that are coming. And He will use it for your good and for His good purposes. That's just a little side note. All right, today we're going to talk about something. My message title is Greetings. I asked Todd when he looked at my verses for today if he noticed a trend. He said, there's a lot of greetings. Yes. You know, one of the things about reading the Bible sometimes is that there are parts of it that you can want to skip. I mean, I'm being real. One of my sons was like, hey, Mom, that beginning of Matthew with all those, like, names and stuff, is it okay if we skip over that sometimes? And I said, I think the Lord would be okay with that from time to time, right? We can get to where, what are we hungry for? We want the meat, right? We want the good part. But you know what the Bible says about the Bible is that all of it is good and necessary for so many things. And today I want to look a little bit at some greetings. The beginning of the story, the beginning of the book. How many of you feel awkward greeting people? Anybody feel awkward greeting people? Listen, it's funny because we are all different about this, and there are different types of greetings. You ever gone in for a hug when someone else went for a handshake? Yeah, that can be a weird moment, right? When you're meeting someone new and you kind of don't know their way of greeting people, right? There are certain people, I won't say anyone's name, but it starts with a G and ends with a Gracie. I have to like brace myself because I know I'm going to get a hug from Gracie, whether I feel like it or not. And so when she's coming to me, you know, I got to kind of like get in my football squat and be ready to absorb the pressure of the greeting, right? We have these ways. And sometimes some people are over the top about greeting. You know those people because you turn the corner at Kroger and go down the other aisle to avoid them. And that's okay. That's okay. People have their own way of greeting, and sometimes we're here for it. Sometimes we're not. Some greetings are awkward. Sometimes greetings are sincere, right? When you are in the throes of a hard thing, there is nothing better than being greeted by someone who loves you and who cares for you and who understands the weight that you are carrying. Those greetings are really important. Now, as a teacher, here's one thing that they teach you and you have to know. The way you greet your students in the morning or the first time you see them will determine your interactions with them throughout the rest of the day. So you have to know when your students and get to know your students. And as they're coming to visit your classroom or in the hallway first thing in the morning, you have to be prepared to greet them. And sometimes this is hard when the copy machines quit working and the little nothing's working, the Wi-Fi is down and you're sweating and you're like, nothing's going right today. And you walk out and here's that kid. And you have to, okay. Because how we greet someone, how we start something, determines the direction of the way it's going to go. If I greet someone with animosity from the beginning, it will only follow that it will continue in that direction. We all know this. We've experienced it in customer service situations, with friends, with relationships, and we have all been on the giving out and the receiving end of those awkward greetings. But the greeting really does set the tone, and it defines the purpose for it. And so I want to look a little bit today at some greetings in the letters of the New Testament, because I think there's a principle that we can learn here. Now, all of the letters, Paul's letters, the letters that the disciples wrote, they have some common themes in them. They encourage God's people. They correct God's people. They provide direction and wisdom to God's people. And they also all have similar greetings. In fact, they say greetings. Greetings. I want to look at two really quickly, and these are out of order, and that's my fault, Todd. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. Through three. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. It starts almost every single letter that we see in the New Testament. Whether it's in the first verse or within the first 10 verses, there is this intentional greeting that they give them where they extend to them grace and peace, and also some reminders before they get to the meat of what they have to talk about. And remember, in some of these things, there is correction to be given. In some of these things, there is simply encouragement for them as they walk out this life. But they start the letters with a greeting of extending to them grace and peace and some reminders. I want to look at these today. In Romans chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning of this letter to the Romans, they are first of all reminded who they are. They are reminded that they are called to belong to Jesus Christ and that they are loved by God. Now, here's the thing today. When I'm talking about greetings, these are greetings to whole groups of people. But how many of you know we have about 100 greetings we do every day? We greet the people who live with us. We greet the people who work with us. We greet people in passing. But do you know we also make a decision on how we greet each day and how we greet each situation that we face? We make a determination of how we enter into that situation. We greet it. We determine how we approach it. And the way we approach it makes all the difference on how it actually goes. All the difference on how it goes. I watched a video this week of a young teenage kid who was facing cancer for a repeat time. And he was giving this little talk, and he was basically saying, "All right, cancer, here we are doing this again. I'm not scared of you. We're going to do this like we did it last time. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to take my medicine. I'm going to do all my things. I'm going to do all the things that I need to do. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to handle this the way I've always handled it. I'm not scared of you. Let's go." And in that moment, the guy who had posted it, he said, "Well, I'm ready to fight right now. I'm ready to go," right? Because there's a choice on how we face everything. And you know, we don't always get to decide the outcome, but we do get to decide how we live in the situation. And it changes the whole trajectory of our life and our situations based off the way we face them and the way we walk into them. And so listen, here in this moment, they're reminding the Romans that first of all, yes, you are Gentiles, and this is a whole new thing that they have been now given the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And he's reminding them, first off, before we get into this, know who you are. You are called to belong to God, and you are loved by God. Now, I want you to imagine yourself in the morning, knowing you've got to face what you've got to face and the things you have to deal with, and reminding yourself who you are. I belong to God, and I am loved by God. Grace and peace to me today. I am loved by God. I belong to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here at the beginning, they remind those in Corinth what they are a part of. They are a part of the saved body of Christ who calls on Jesus Christ. So not only are they saved, but they are a part of a body of Christ together. Sometimes we need the reminder that even though we may feel like we are facing things alone, we are not. We are called together. We are part of the body of Christ. We have been called everywhere with people all over the world who are joined by the name of Jesus Christ. There is so much divisiveness that would tell us that we are nothing alike, even as followers of Christ. And let me tell you something. The enemy loves nothing more than divisiveness. The more divided he can make Christians against each other, the less power we have to do God's will. We play into his hand. When we are angry and divided, and when we are choosing sides on the things of this world and making things in this world somehow more important than the fact that we are all saved, sanctified by Jesus Christ with all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not alone, and so we must approach everything and greet every situation and problem with the awareness that we are not alone, that we are standing with God's people. Philippians 1, 2 through 7. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you and all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. I love this one because he starts things off reminding them of their purpose. They are in partnership with the gospel, and they have been given a good work to do. No matter what season of life you're in or where you are at, you have a purpose. You have been called to do good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. You have been called in partnership with the gospel. So whether you are buying groceries or on the mission field, you are in partnership with the gospel. And if we can realize that in every situation we walk into it with the purpose of the good work God has given us to do and with a partnership in the gospel. I've told stories about my grandfather before and the way he witnessed to Amazon drivers. And they got a lot of Amazon packages. And it actually became a thing where my dad would send my grandmother a book through Amazon just so that the Amazon people would have to come. And my aunt, before she was moving, was clearing out camera, you know, the security camera, and found a video of my grandfather telling the Amazon person that Jesus loved them. And then just standing there and talking to him about the goodness of God. And even after he passed, that people would come to deliver packages. And they talked about him at the Amazon delivery place. Who was delivering packages to Max Garner? Because you knew he was going to pray for you. So if you weren't in the mood for it, you should probably switch delivery routes. I'm telling you something. When we can face each day with the purpose of knowing that our lives are being lived in partnership with the gospel. And that in anything that we do, that there's good work for us to do. It can change the whole perspective of how we live our life. So many people are waiting around for God's purpose. And this is a phrase you hear all the time. I just want to know what God's purpose is for my life. I just want to know what God has called me to do. You are called to live in partnership with the gospel. And there is good work for you to do anywhere that you go. So if you face whatever day, whatever job, whatever thing that you have, and you greet this challenge in front of you with the awareness of your purpose in Christ Jesus, it can change the direction, the trajectory of your existence and your life on earth. 1 Thessalonians 1:1-3. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this one because this is a reminder of how to do it. Okay, I'm in partnership with the gospel. I know that I'm loved by God. I know that I am His. I know that I'm called by Him. I have a purpose. I'm part of God's body. I know who I am. Now, how do I live that out? And right here in Thessalonians, they tell us what they mean. We remember before our God and Father your what? Your work produced by faith. Your labor prompted by love. And your endurance inspired by hope. Let me tell you something. You work by faith. Now listen, we get this in the real world. You know you don't get paid until after you work. They don't pay you in advance. If they do on accident, they will take it back. So you get paid after the work. Yet all of us are going to show up and clock in, and we are going to have faith that that deposit is going to hit. In the school system on Thursdays, there's this little like ding that comes through that is your payment details, right? And I'm telling you what, there's nothing funnier than being in a workroom with 20 teachers when that email comes and everybody goes, money's here, right? We work in faith knowing that we're going to get paid. And yet sometimes we don't approach our relationship with God with the same faith. Of knowing that we are working by faith, and I may not see the results of it right now or even here on this earth, but I believe and I work by faith. I know that the return is coming. I know that the good is coming. I was thinking about this verse today. You all, many of you know, I'm passionate about praying and believing God for prodigals. And I sit in here today and I was literally thinking about some young women that I know right now. They are an answer to prayer. That they are walking with the Lord. And it is because, truly, of working by faith of the people in their life who prayed for them and believed for them when it did not look possible. And they are living and walking with God because of faith. I'm telling you, you cannot give up and you cannot do it in your own strength. You have to work by faith. It's the only way. Then it says too that you have labored prompted by love. This is such a true thing. Nobody labors without love. Labor without love, hard work, when you, let me tell you something, you may not love your job, but you do love being able to pay your bills and buy food. And sometimes that's what motivates us. But what we're talking right here in Scripture, he says, we notice your labor prompted by love. That really means that your labor has come from a place of love. That you have worked by faith. And you have given, and you have sown, and you have tilled this hard ground and planted seeds in people's life. And you have done that because of the love you have for them. Not because of the good things you're guaranteed to get. Not because of the promise of the deposit hitting your account on Friday. You have been prompted by love. When we can walk into whatever we are facing, prompted by love, it will change the way we face what it is we're facing, especially with people. And then it says, your endurance inspired by hope. I think about this with a young man who was talking about facing cancer. He has a hope. He believes, and he is determined to endure because of that hope. Man, it is hard to endure some things. Man, it's hard. But we endure with hope. And not the hope that this world gives because it does not give us any. We endure because of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we believe his promises are true. Because we trust and believe that he will do what he says he will do. And that his kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven. 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all you have for one another is increasing. Grace and peace, but we see that your faith is growing and the love you have for others is increasing. That love we have for others increasing can be challenging, especially in the world we live in today. But we want to see faith growing in our lives. Faith growing in our lives. It's possible. It's real. We can see faith growing. And sometimes it's hard. Leo had a soccer thing in Murfreesboro this weekend. And the last time he had been there was like December of last year. Maybe even before that, maybe October. And the coach comes over and he's talking to the parents. And he's like, you know, it's hard at this age with boys because they grow at different ways and their bodies change in different ways. And he said, I don't know if Leo's parents are here. And I was like, that's me. And he said, you know, Leo looks completely different than he did last year in October. And it's true, and you know your kids are getting bigger, right? But when someone sees them who has not seen them, especially during these years of life where they are growing, it's a huge thing, right? I mean, I'm buying pants for him, so I know it's happening, even if I don't recognize it, right? But he left school in May, and in August he went to put on a pair of pants that he wore in May, and they were above his sock line, and they wouldn't button in the waist. I mean, that was like a month, guys, right? He is growing, right? We have this expectation that children are going to grow. And it's hard to see it sometimes, but it does happen. But the same is true with our faith. If you are loving God, if you are praying, if you are seeking God with your whole heart, if you are doing the work placed in front of you, your faith is growing. And you may not see it, but here they are taking a point to let them know, hey, we see your faith growing. And I look around this church and I know that the faith of this body of believers is growing. I've seen the faith grow and I have seen the love grow. God is doing good things. So let's wrap this up today with grace and peace. In every one of these verses, and in others, those were not the only instances, it says, grace and peace we give to you. Grace and peace. What does that mean? To give grace and peace. Now, first of all, it's not really something that they can give them. It's more of a reminder to them of the grace and peace that they have through Jesus Christ. Grace means it's something that affords joy. It's goodwill. Loving kindness, as Lori mentioned in worship. It's favor. It is the merciful kindness by which God turns us to Christ and strengthens us. The merciful kindness of God. Merciful kindness. When you work with kids, you learn the power of grace. Because when a kid does something dumb, and they will, because they're kids, and you show them grace, it can absolutely 100% change the trajectory of their life. 100% change the trajectory of their life. And so we know this, that when we show grace to others, that we are giving them a gift. And we have got to realize that God has given us the gift of grace, his merciful kindness that turns us to him and that strengthens us. Man, what a gift is grace. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be able to do anything for God. I am not worthy of his gifts and his blessings and his callings, but his grace is a merciful kindness to me. And every day, God's grace to you is a merciful kindness. And so they start every one of these letters with the reminder that grace is yours. And then there is peace. I love that word, peace. I get asked every year by kids what my hobbies are, and I'm not really at a stage of life where I can have hobbies because too many people in my house need to go places. So, yeah. What are my hobbies? And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what my hobby is? Relaxing. Because I will give it all I got. I will relax like it's my job. I love a sheet mask. I love a cold house like I'm rich. I turn that air down like I'm rich for just a little while, and I put a blanket on. In there, there's nothing better than a cold house with a blanket. I'm just saying. I light a candle. I get snacks. Those little mini Cokes, a nice British crime show on TV. Man, I'm telling you, and I realize, you know what? Relaxing is my hobby. I give it everything that I've got, right? And I realize that part of that is I really love peace. I value peace. I value it because there's not much in life that's peaceful. But the truth is that no amount of sheet masks or candles, no amount of snacks is what's really going to give me peace. Because here's the thing. Peace is a gift that can only be given by God. And peace is a state of tranquility. It's the calmness that you experience in the middle of a situation in which you should not be calm. That's peace. It is harmony between people. This is hard, but peace is harmony. Peace is security and safety. Security and safety. Something that this world cannot guarantee us at all. But see, security and safety, the peace that comes with security and safety is the peace that reminds us that this world is not my home. Safety and security, and ultimately peace. The peace that Jesus gives us is a soul assured of salvation. So listen, all of these scriptures, they start every letter that they're giving to these people in the New Testament, and they remind them of who they are, of their purpose. Before they get to the meat, to the good stuff, to the verses you hang on your wall, they start out with a greeting, and they remind them of who they are, of who they belong to. They remind them how we live by faith, and they remind them that grace and peace are yours through Jesus Christ. So listen, I know they're talking to people, but today I talked about this. We all face different situations. So I want you today to think about that situation that you are facing, the problem that you are facing. Maybe it's just all of life, because that can be its thing. Life be life and like nothing else sometimes. Whatever it is that you are facing, a complex work situation, family dynamics, whatever it is that you are facing, and I want you to greet it today and speak first to who you are and not where you are. Speak to the promise of what is yours, not the struggle of what's holding you. Start the day, the journey, the situation with grace and peace. Lead with it. Walk with it. Greet and remind yourself who you are. I am a child of God. I am loved by God. What you are a part of, I'm a part of the body of Christ. How and you will and you can do it. I can do this because I work by faith. I labor from a place of love and I endure by hope. And so I greet this situation and I set myself up to grow in faith and grow in love. Greet every day with the hope, promise, and truth that grace and peace are yours through Jesus. You may not be able to change the outcome of the story, but you can change the theme and the message and the purpose of the story by reminding yourself before you walk into it that grace and peace are yours. I am not an expert at this, but I've faced some kind of challenging things over the past couple of years. And I have discovered, I know this is shocking, that panicking and freaking out doesn't actually help anything. It does not, in fact, help anything. But I had a follow-up appointment in May about my eyes. And there's been times throughout the past year or so where I completely forget about it. I don't think about it. And then there are other days where I look at a want line and it's wonky and I'm like, okay, what? That's not good. And, you know, you just kind of go through these rises and falls when you're facing an ongoing situation. And it worked out where my husband had to be out of town the day of my appointment at Vanderbilt in Nashville. And so I called my brother. I was like, hey, I'm going to need you to take a day off work and take me to my appointment. And so he did, and it was great because I was driving down there to Murfreesboro to meet him. And I had a choice because I was in a car by myself for 2.5 hours on 40 and 840, which is boring. And, you know, here we go, same road always. But I had a choice, right? I'm walking into a situation that has me on edge. Because I do not know what they're going to say. Because they do not really know what this is. And I don't know what they're going to say when I get there. And they're going to do all these tests and tell me what they see. And I've been praying since they gave me this diagnosis for restoration and preservation of my eyesight. Restoration and preservation of my eyesight. And so I'm on the way to Murfreesboro, and let me tell you, this wasn't necessarily like officially on my mind, but I began to do this. I began to, first of all, turn on worship music on Spotify, and I began to listen to worship music, and I began to listen to CC Wine and sing the goodness of God. And then I quickly changed that because you cannot drive on I-40 if you're crying, and as soon as CC starts to sing, I cry, it doesn't matter what it is. So I moved on to some Forrest Frank. You know, all the things, right? Some lemonade, whatever these songs are, he does. It's great. And I began to just sing and worship God. And I began to remind myself. Think about this. Think about situations you've faced in your life. I began to remind myself who I am. I am called by God. I belong to him. I am loved by God. I am saved and I am a part of his kingdom. You have given me a purpose and a good work to do. I have worked and I have trusted by faith. I labor and I do what you've called me to do because of the love you have put inside me. I have endured through these moments by hope that only you can give me. It is your grace and mercy and loving kindness to me that restores my soul and that lets me do anything. It is your peace that helps me to endure through any situation. And I ended up getting there, and my brother and I had such a great time hanging out, him laughing at my dilated eyes, and I couldn't see where I was going. And we had a great time, and the doctor came in, and he checked everything, and I had this moment. He's got all these little people that are learning from him, and he sits back, and he's talking to them in code. And he said, well, nothing's changed. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, the pictures look the same this year that they looked last year. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, I don't know. He said, remember, Lindsay, we don't really know what this is. We don't know why it happened. But nothing's changed. And we left the appointment, and I told my brother I wanted a Coke. You see, that's something it's a comfort for me. A nice cold Coca-Cola Coke from a gas station. And I just said, well, that was good. And Justin was like, that was real good. I didn't know what the outcome would be when I went in. None of us know the outcome of any situation. It's not the outcome that matters. It's the way we go into it. Grace and peace are yours in Jesus Christ. Greet your situation with a knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. Live and work from a place of faith and love and hope. And no matter the outcome, no matter the outcome, grace and peace are yours in Jesus Christ. Today we're going to come and take communion. And we're going to take some minute to pray over families and stuff at the end. And whether you take communion with your family today or you're taking communion on your own, whatever it is, take a moment to thank Jesus for the grace and mercy and peace that he gives us. When he took his disciples and began to take communion, he was giving them a tangible reminder that they could have with them, the process that they could go through continually over and over again to help them to remember him and to remember what this was about. And so he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, drink this, this is my blood which has been spilled for you. And he gave them this reminder, because here's the thing, we need reminders. It's so easy for us to gloss over things we hear all the time. Do not gloss over this today. Grace and peace are yours through Jesus Christ. We come to this table and we take this little piece of bread and we dip it in this grape juice to remind ourselves of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. To remind ourselves that it was his broken body and his spilled blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. It was the work that he did on the cross that ensured that there was no separation between us and God anymore. That the grace and peace that existed in the person of God would now always be with us because he did the work on the cross. The New Testament, the greetings, the grace, the peace, the faith, the love, it is ours because of what Jesus did for us. So today, if you would stand as we prepare to take communion today, take a moment to thank God for his saving grace. Thank him for his sacrifice that he made on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you can, take a moment and ask him to remind you daily of the grace and peace that he has for you in every situation that you may face. So Lord, we come before you today with open hearts. We face so many things in life, but we can face them with grace and peace and confident hope and love because of you and because of your work on the cross. Today we take this communion, we take these reminders, these symbols of the work done on the cross. We take them with sacredness, we take them with sincerity. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your salvation. May we be reminded of all you did so that we can do all that we do with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive today.